Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome into another TC Talks podcast. I have no idea what number we're on now. We're in the high 20s. We've got
28.
To be 28. Almost 28 of these things. 28 of these things. I mean, that in itself is impressive. As you can see,
to 28 weeks.
There you go. Oh, naughty!
Nintendork 1977 straight in. Ooh. With a follow. Thank you very much for the follow, and welcome into the TC Talks.
My boy from America.
Excellent. For your information, Nintendork, we are thumb culture. We are the epitome of thumb culture right here. And Jay's obviously playing with his thumbs right there. What you're seeing on your screen now is the live recording of our TC Talks podcast. We attempt to do this once a week on a Tuesday night, and then it gets sent out into all of the podcast sphere. And on your screen, we have a few people. We also have a new face, which obviously is the reason why Nintendork has come in today. So as always, over that side of me, there is my doppelganger. Yeah, I was going to say my brother from another mother.
Yeah.
We have Stu, Darth Vader 666 UK.
Yeah.
Welcome in, Stu. How you doing?
Hello. I'm good. How are you doing, Stu?
I'm okay today. I'm okay. Yeah. I'm not setting the bar too high.
Cool.
Down there, we have the man mountain himself. How you doing, Jaymond?
Not so bad, thank you. Not so bad.
Good, good, good. I'm waiting for you to tell me that nickname's grinding a bit on you, but
no, you can call me. I've been called much worse.
Oh, I mean, I'll call you anything, sweetheart. And let me see if I can get this angle right. Down there, in that corner there, is the one and only 16-bit nostalgia.
Hello.
I mean, whew, and his camera's froze, but you know, we can still hear him.
This isn't good. Hang on, let me see if I can.
It's fine. I just thought you were like sitting really still for a while.
Just so still, so super cool.
There we go. He's moving now. Yeah, he was like, yo. For like ages, but now.
Oh no! I thought it was my rubbishing network
what?
Again.
What?
We tricked him thinking everything.
Yeah, everyone's like.
Oh, not again.
So, as always, welcome into the professionally recorded Thumb Culture TC Talks podcast. Today, if you've noticed the little title down below, we are talking about retro. It's only fitting that Bri comes in and we talk about retro stuff. But first, as always, we have our nice little welcome section. So, what's everybody been up to this week? Anything good? I think we'll stick with what we did last time, is we did one good thing and one bad thing. So let's start with Jay this week. How are you? And tell me, what one good thing has happened to you this week?
We're starting with good.
Yeah,
I've ordered a new TV.
Right. Okay. In all of this, right, we're not allowed to mention the words Xbox or PlayStation.
I've ordered a new TV for my new consoles.
Damn you. You have, doesn't it land on Thursday?
Yeah. By coincidence, because it wasn't actually meant to land until next week.
Is it true that it's also being delivered by SpaceX?
No, I can't remember who's delivering it. It's a big TV, so it's going to be interesting. And then I've got to get it up a flight of stairs and stuff. So
it's blatantly going to be Hermes. They just whiz it over your fence.
Yeah, Hermes did deliver my first console, and hopefully they won't be delivering my second console that is due on Thursday as well.
Oh, there you go.
But you never know.
As long as they don't whiz it over your fence.
Yeah, so that's the good thing.
Yeah,
new stuff.
New stuff. New stuff is always a good thing.
Yeah.
So kind of one bad thing.
Ubisoft still owes me money.
Still.
Yeah. It's been at least 3 weeks.
I was going to say, it was 2 weeks since we did the last one of these. Yeah. And they owed you two lots of money then?
Yeah, so there was an issue when I pre-ordered Valhalla, Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I always get the Assassin's Creed collector's editions with the statues. I collect the statues. They took PayPal twice and attempted it on my bank card directly. The bank card one just kind of, it put it in suspense, but didn't really take the money. It just wasn't in my account for a while. So that's sorted. But I've got two orders, effectively, that they've sent me one lot of stuff for. And I want my money back, please, Ubisoft, for the other.
So,
I think it's 170 or 180 quid.
Well, that's the thing. It's not a non-essential amount of money. It's you know. So Ubisoft, if you're watching, because you blatantly are.
Where's my money?
Yeah. This just reminds me of that Family Guy episode.
Where's my money?
Yeah, my money. Stop ducking me, man. Give me my money. Stewpot, come on. Annoying. One good, one bad.
I had fish and chips this evening.
So which one was that, good or bad?
Good. That was good. That was right, really good.
But it could be bad later, because if it's got gluten in.
No, these are gluten-free fish and chips. They're the only one in the area, and you've got a special order them half hour before you go pick them up.
One of our best does that. Yeah. It's good.
Nice.
Pretty good.
Nice.
So I can't fault that. So I should be good.
You should be good. Excellent. Yes. If Stu disappears towards the end of the podcast, it's fine.
Yes. We know why.
He's just had a little boys' room emergency.
Yeah.
And then kind of, so one bad thing.
I got a leaky porch.
You do. Have you been to the doctors?
No. Now, the roofer came on the weekend. He can't do nothing, obviously, until it stops raining. And it's currently just raining. So we've got kind of like, I'm sure you might know, Stu, they're like absorbent pads for babies.
You mean a nappy?
No, but it's like one for the bed. It's like a big one for the bed.
Yeah.
And we've kind of got that on the wall to absorb all the water coming in at the moment.
Nice. Have you thought about expanding foam?
I do have expanding foam, yeah. Maybe I could pop some of that in there, maybe.
That's it. So
I got to wait for him to come to patch the roof before I have a new roof.
Excellent. Welcome in to a couple of new faces into the stream as well. Colleen89, welcome in. And Dark Install. Where's my money, huh? Got enough money to buy a damn disguise? And now, coming on to the Bri Monster.
Bri Monster.
Yeah. There will be lots of different random names thrown at you, just to forewarn you.
That's fine.
You get used to it.
They're all loving.
Used to it. It's all good.
Come on, then. One good and one bad.
One good and one bad. Good. I've made a bit of progress with my sort of music recording now, so I can get fully into my Viking metal journey.
Excellent.
Sort of recording guitar. Did my first rough cut of a song today. Happy with it. Knowing me, I'll probably go back and completely re-record it. But it's a start.
Such is life.
Yeah, it's a start, and I'm sort of really happy with how it turned out.
If you're doing Viking metal, you should do a song about how Ubisoft still owes me money.
Yeah.
For a Viking game.
Write the lyrics, I'll write the music. It's got to come from your
heart. Don't tempt him.
Give me my money.
Yeah. Just that, just over, that over, and over and over again. Yeah.
A hit song right there.
Yeah.
One bad. Christmas is all a bit sort of messed up. Me and my partner were supposed to be flying out to Hungary for this Christmas. We were supposed to be flying out back in May, but with everything that went on, flights were cancelled. And now nobody's going in and out of the country. So twice this year we were supposed to go see our family, and it's not happening. So rearranging Christmas, not flying out, which is a bit
pants,
really.
It's a bit pap, isn't it, really?
It's a bit pap.
Just on the, it's on the pap side of pap.
The pappiest side.
Yeah. So, original sarcasm, man, Kev, welcome in, buddy. Hope you are well. So Colleen said your Viking song was sick. And then Nintendork has just put a load of guitars in the chat. I love it.
I think sick is young people talk for very good.
I think it is, yeah.
Even I know that.
The more C's as well is the more good. as well. More gooder.
Yeah.
It's the most good it could be.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'm trying to think of what my one good, one bad thing is this week. I think good things is obviously new toys this week. And bad things, I worked last night and had to get the police down to where I was working to come and arrest a twat.
Report your boss.
Yeah. I didn't like the people I was working with, so I just phoned the police on them. But yeah, that was the bad thing. So as actual R has dropped into the chat, I think it's only time and only fair that we give a massive shout out to. Oh, see, there we go. See, literally, cough. New website, cough. I'm literally just about to do that. Give me a break. All right, I said I'd do it. All right, I don't need you coming in, getting on my back, telling me what to do. It's not my first podcast.
Number 28.
Yeah, it's my number 28th of this series. But yes, yeah. We have a new look website. So if you haven't been to the Thumb Culture website before, please do. Please go and check it out and show some love to the amazing work that R has done. Obviously, Stu did a lot of work in the background, getting stuff sorted.
I was like John Cena.
You were, yeah. Can't see me. Yeah. It's an amazing looking website. We're still tweaking things to make sure that it's the best it can be, but it's phenomenal. The logo, the new logo is very nice. Is great, and it's there, slap bang in the middle of your screens. I think the podcast logos have all changed as well.
Last week onwards, yes. So any new episodes going forward will have the new logo. So last week's one was the first one.
That's it.
Backlogs.
Yeah. So it's amazing. I'm massively pleased with how it's all turned out. The stream look will change slowly but surely. It's looking fresh, I think, is what the young people say.
And in Wales, it's called it quite lush.
It's quite lush.
It's sick.
It's girt lush. I noticed Dan snuck in the chat as well. Actual R has Corona. Stop coughing. I know.
She has the Ronar.
The Ronar. Yeah. Ronar is better than Alexa. R Alexa.
Alexa.
Yeah, I don't think she does. I really don't think she does. But it's time. I'm going to pass it over to my doppelganger, and let's cover some news.
Let's get some news. News with the Stew. It was a bit of a bittersweet moment this week for Ubisoft. They announced they no longer support an achievement, which was amazing news.
That's disappointing to me.
The only person on the planet that doesn't want achievements, but the whole Reddit thread is, it's about 1,000 people saying they want it back. that's just one thread. They were no longer support achievements going forward. However, Valhalla is getting achievements on PC.
Yeah.
Because they decided to add it in because everybody backlashed against it, basically.
Do you know, I think, are these Ubisoft rewards achievements, not like platinum achievements on the PlayStation
as
stuff?
As far as I can see, is stuff like, I've seen on Steam, is like, you've scored 6 goals in 1 minute. Well done.
Yeah. So it's like Steam achievements and stuff.
Yeah.
I think they're the same thing. Like, I think when you unlock an achievement in a Ubisoft game, you also get the points behind the scenes.
Yeah. They're no longer giving you those points.
What's the point then? Sack them off.
And that's all the point achievements. There's no point.
The Ubisoft rewards, though, you could earn points to redeem on other things, though.
Yeah,
on the Uplay.
That's not so bad. I'll give it that. That's not so bad. I mean, at least you've got something for your You're rewarding something in a way, which
and it's not only redeemable against stuff against that game as well, it can be redeemable about anything. There's even like a 20% off.
I was going to say, yeah, it was about the same, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite good. But
to Xbox, once you get a certain gamer score, you get a bit of discount on the games and things like that using the reward system, so that's quite good. But we've had a whole pod about achievements.
So, we have.
But there you go, so Ubisoft is popping in achievements for Valhalla on PC. Well, there we go. That's not so bad. The BBC reported that video games good for well-being, said Oxford University.
I mean, that makes a change, right?
That is actually quite a nice headline for gaming for once in a while. Because there's always something going on about, this, that, causing death and murder.
So now you can go back, play GTA, pick up a prostitute, do all of that, and it's good for you.
Yeah, it's good for your mental health.
Because of your accent as well, Stu, I thought you were going to say video games are good for Welsh beings for some reason. I thought they've written an article about how you're allowed to play video games.
I mean, just Welsh.
Did you freelance?
We discovered them like a week ago. They only came up the valleys like a week ago. So, they were magical.
That's why you don't like consoles, because they've not come to the valleys yet. Oh, there we go.
Sense. So gaming is good for your well-being. There we go. I mean, we all knew that.
Yeah.
We all knew that anyway.
Apart from if you play Rocket League with me, HG.
I know. He is so, not so friendly rude. In the game. So rude.
Apparently I'm rude. What I say?
I haven't played with you at that yet. We need to do that.
Yeah, you need to come online with me and Nate. You know, we had our Thumb Culture Rocket League evening the other day as well. That was good fun.
It's free as well. Free so you can play on whatever you want.
But you can't chat. There's no party chat, like game chat. I know, but yeah.
Anyway, next one. EA. Good old EA. Because we know they are colorblind friendly, so thumbs up to them. They're launching a FIFA spend tracking tool. Have you seen this, anyone, today?
I don't want to see that.
No,
I was concerned by the headline.
I mean, so FIFA Playtime, this is what it's going to be called, gives players an overview of how much time and money they spent on FIFA 21 and abilities to set spending for ultimate team limits. I think this must be on a backlash of what the Dutch court said.
Yeah, it has to be, doesn't it?
Like, it has to be, yeah. So it basically outlines how much you spend and how much you play in, basically.
Yeah.
So they can say, we've given you the controls to,
Yeah, that's it.
To protect yourself,
Might do a competition on Twitter. The person with, the highest paid amount gets, some FIFA points.
Yeah. You should do that. So it's coming on November the 17th, which is today. It's actually been launched today. Oh, it's actually this evening is being launched.
Right, what's the website?
It was called FIFA Spend Tracking Tool.
Yeah, FIFA Playtime, wasn't it?
FIFA Playtime.
Yeah, it's called FIFA Playtime.
Let's have a look.
This article from Eurogamer weirdly does not have a link. What?
Is that because it wasn't live when they wrote
it? Yes, it was. Yeah, that is.
Okay, exactly. You've got to opt in on FIFA. So it says, turn on FIFA Playtime. Opt into FIFA Playtime from the online settings tile in the customized tab on the main FIFA menu. Then head to the Playtime tile from the FIFA online settings tile in the main menu, the Foot More menu, or the Volta Football More menu to learn about your engagement in FIFA and set weekly limits. So it's not easy to get to, is it?
No, not at all. Not at all.
How many people are going to go and dig around for that and actually enable it? Hold up, stop. Well, we're getting raided. Count Coggins is raiding us with no Frank and Pim, though, this evening. I heard he's flying solo tonight, I think.
Coggins has been playing a bit of Celeste.
I have no idea what that is, but it sounds good.
Bit of a 2D platformer, pixel art type thing. Very retro looking.
Is that the one with the big sword?
No.
No? Apparently, what's that one? That was Transfusion.
like a really good game, because it chronicles like a journey through sort of like different mental health stages.
Yeah, that's right. That's
yeah. That's, it looks really interesting. Good. It's one of those titles I've just not gotten around to, but heard so many different people sort of like speak about it in such a positive way.
Yeah, yeah. And it's on our favourite service.
No, it's not on Game Pass.
It really is.
Oh, dear. Thumb Culture not endorsed by Game Pass. Although, Xbox, if you would like us to, please get in touch. Inquiries at thumbculture.co.uk. If you want to send some spam, Stu Nightingale at thumbculture.co.uk.
Thanks. I do actually get a lot of spam from my podcast stuff trying to sell me shit.
Oh, it's horrendous.
It's bad. Anyway, next one. This is about the... I thought the PlayStation 5 was already out. Is it already out in other...
It's out.
It's out for everyone Sony doesn't deem a second-class citizen.
Basically just Japan. It's out.
It's out in America, Australia.
Oh, right, okay.
I think it's out in... Yeah, I think it's out in the US, but like not Canada, for example.
No, it's out in Canada, I think.
Oh, is it? Mm. It seems so, yeah. It's a really weird list of places.
If you bought Black Ops Cold War on PS5, apparently people are getting the PlayStation 4 versions.
Yeah, and it can lead to you needing to do a factory reset if you're not careful as well.
It's
yeah.
the
same principle.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there's a whole big thing, isn't it, where they're also saying about how like people on PlayStation 5 aren't actually playing the PlayStation 5 versions of games. Yeah.
So what happens is if you hop on the on the PlayStation Store from the PS5, of course it's backwards compatible, so you can also see a load of PS4 games. And if you've bought Call of Duty, you pop onto that store, and one of the first buttons that you see is download all. So naturally, oh yeah, download all, that's what I want.
Of course, yeah.
But it's defaulting to downloading the PS4 version. And either you get the PS4 version and you're playing a, you know, not the best version that you could be playing on your new console, or it locks up your download queue and you have to factory reset it. So yeah. there's this little ellipses, apparently, little ellipses on the screen, you know, kind of like a mobile app would have or whatever. And if you hit that, you can sort of say, don't download the PS4 one. So that if you know of the bug, you know, if anyone's listening and you haven't got your PS5 yet, maybe don't hit the button straight away and just double check what it's going to download.
Yeah, I'll make sure I don't hit that button on Thursday.
Queue for download bug.
That's the bug. That's right. The bug. Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
Cool.
It's it's as Coggins has just popped in the chat. It's kind of exacerbated because Activision are charging you for a patch, so it kind of... There's not just one version of Call of Duty. There's a PS4 version and a PS5 version. The same thing's happening on Xbox, but apparently you, because of their smart delivery, it defaults to the more modern version anyway if you've paid for that version. So it's a bit more handled by the storefront, but the same thing could happen there as well. So it's a bit of a shop oversight on the old...
Yeah, I'll have to have a look on the store when I get on my PS5 and see what it says, because obviously I've got the cross gen bundle option, so we will see. So I will see how it all looks and see if it's as straightforward as you would like to think it is. But the other thing as well is I heard that some people are playing, they're downloading the PS5 versions of games. And like the PS4/PS5 versions of games, but still only playing the PS4 version. Apparently you have to press like options to bring up the side menu, go down to version, game version, and in there is like the option to make sure that you're doing the 5 version, which will either allow you to play it or prompt the patch to be downloaded.
Why doesn't it just default to the better one?
To the one it's supposed to be on.
Yeah.
You would think, wouldn't you?
Well, you would think it knows
what you're on. I mean, personally, I think that you shouldn't be allowed to download PS4 versions of stuff. So on the PS5, you can go into your library, and that's how you get all your different games and backwards compatibility. Yeah. I think in that library, everything should default to stuff that has a PlayStation 5 patch. I think if you want to do a backwards compatibility section, there should be a separate section for that.
Yeah, you almost want to be able to default to your version.
Yeah.
But if you're not bothered and you'd rather maybe save a bit of space, you know, download, you know, actively choose to get the lesser version rather than it defaulting to the lesser version. It kind of does that on the new Xbox. You can pick which version it downloads, but it will by default just download using, they called it smart delivery, but it just means you download the version that works on your machine.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing smart about that, really. That's just common sense.
That's just their sort of marketing for it, and everyone took the mick, but here we are, and it's doing exactly what Microsoft said it would do, and Sony's like going, oh, you've pressed the wrong button because we've made it slightly more convoluted.
Yeah. But one thing I have liked about Call of Duty is obviously you can download... you can just download certain parts that you want. So obviously I've been doing the review for the game. I've just finished the campaign. So I've uninstalled the campaign on my PlayStation 4.
Yeah, that is good.
So it just means that, you know, if I just want multiplayer, I can just have multiplayer.
It's a lot less than on the SSD then.
Yeah, well, that's it. And, you know, and hopefully the PlayStation download speeds are decent.
Yeah. Yeah, they've funnily enough been doing that more and more because Gears 5 does that as well, where you can just pick what you install. And funnily enough, the Halo collection got an update today, apparently, because that was originally, you have all the games, so it was like 120 gig, but you've got like 6 games there. But now you can actually pick which ones you want to install, whether you want just the single player, just the multiplayer and all that. So it's good when they do that. Gives you a bit more flexibility.
Well, it's like you get some people like myself. I'm predominantly not a single player gamer.
Yeah.
So I would generally download the multiplayer side of things for a game and not worry about the campaign. But obviously, you know, doing a review, you have to do these things for the greater good.
Another bit of news.
We'll have to call this one the last one, Stu Pop.
Yeah, I was going to say it's the last one. I feel like it went under the radar for a moment. Take-Two are buying out Codemasters.
It didn't go under the radar.
No. I feel like it went a little bit more under the radar.
It went under the radar for people that don't care about stuff like that guy down there.
Yeah, well, I was obviously aware of it for the moment, and then it just disappeared. But anyway, it's going to be set to complete early next year anyway.
Yeah, 700-something million pounds, though, which, you know...
That seems a lot.
Yeah, it's quite a lot, but I'm intrigued by that. Obviously, I know that Bri is a big racer and a big fan of Cody's as well as I am. And obviously, with Take-Two comes 2K. Mm-hmm. Which obviously if people know anything about how the 2K franchises have gone, especially with NBA, there is a massive pay to win sort of focus, especially on the latest one. 2K 20 was obviously really bad for gambling.
It was a gambler.
Yeah, it was a gambling game with a side hustle of basketball. So I'm intrigued to see, especially with Codemasters recently acquiring Slightly Mad Studios and Project Cars. It's going to be interesting. I kind of hope that Take-Two just kind of say, look, Codemasters, we've bought you. We're going to publish your games under the 2K banner. But
do what you want.
Yeah, do what you want. Kind of like what they did with HB Studios and the Golf Club. Kind of franchise, they just put their moniker behind it.
I mean, to be fair, what Codemasters are doing with Dirt, with like you got your Dirt 5 recently, plus the more sim style Dirt with 2.0, what they do with those, plus the F1 franchise, it doesn't need, I personally don't think, anything sort of like anybody outside coming in to it. There's still small refinements and tweaks to make to these games, but I see a toolbox.
I see a big pink blur.
Yes.
just try and get it up there.
Nice grey box.
Yeah, nice grey box.
But yeah, I just hope 2K don't get too involved in a product that is already well established and good.
Yeah. I mean, the positive could be is that in GTA you get real cars rather than cars that really, really look like other cars.
Because Codemasters have a lot of licenses. Like,
yeah, there is that. Licenses,
which cost a lot. So maybe that's another side of why it costs a lot too. So.
Yeah.
But do you not remember the times where you got 3 GTAs per generation rather than 3 generations per GTA?
Yeah. Do you know, I think that's the one thing that's going to stand out about the PlayStation 5 reveal is the fact that the first game, the one game that they decided to show first on their new PlayStation 5 was GTA 5 Online.
Which is from PS3, not even PS4, and works with back compat anyway.
Yeah. The only thing with that, and then the last thing before we move on to the feature, is I don't know whether you saw any of like the ultra realistic mods that they brought to that you could install on GTA on the PC. Yeah. I do hope that that's kind of what we might expect when the update comes middle of next year. Whether it will be or not, it'll probably just be an increase in draw distance.
So much money on the online stuff. It's almost like that's why they're not bothered, basically. They make, and obviously PlayStation will take a cut if it goes via their store. So they obviously want people to be playing that game. Same as Fortnite as well.
At the end of the day, I think if you haven't completed the GTA story by now, you're not going to.
Yeah.
You know, that's the truth. It's the hard truth, unfortunately. But I think it's time we move on to our feature. Nice little animations there coming up for your earballs. This week we're talking about retro. I mean, apt because Bri's on, but, you know, coincidence? Yes, massive coincidence. I think the first thing to do is obviously to understand what each of us think retro is. Now we'll come to Bri last because he is obviously the retro gaming corner master. Is that what you want us to call you, master? Is that okay? Or daddy? Or
I'll think about it.
Yeah, you think about it and let me know, daddy.
Let me think on that one.
Yeah. Don't think too long. Jay, when someone says to you retro, I want to know where your cutoff is. So what systems do you class as retro?
So the joking part of me says the Xbox One's now retro, and in 2 days' time, the PS4's retro. But the more realistic side is I treat it from one generation ago, probably.
Right,
so
okay.
So 360 and PS3 backwards is a broad window, but that to me is retro because it's the kind of stuff that becomes a little bit more specialist. Like you have to seek it out online rather than perhaps wandering into a big shop in town or whatever. You obviously have the nice smaller indie shops that do stock, you know, retro stuff. But that to me is almost the cutoff. Like PS4, Xbox One, that stuff's sticking around, you know, for another couple of years. You know, joking aside, it's not really retro at all, but it becomes harder and harder to get PS3, 360. And obviously, the older you go, the more difficult some games can be as well.
Yeah.
So that's almost my definition, is where it becomes a little bit more specialist to get and perhaps a little bit more sought after by collectors as a result. Some people obviously, you know, foresee that they're going to collect these things and buy it all up front and then hang on to it. Some people get into it at a later time and things. But yeah, that would be my definition, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Stu, are we talking what, Ryzen 3rd generation retro for you?
Is the AMD Thunderbird? No. basically for me, and I guess it's because I've been predominantly, a PC gamer since 1996. You know, that's when I came into the PC thing. So for me, retro is your Mega Drive, your SNES, your Commodore 64, your Ataris, anything. I wouldn't even go as far as like Dreamcast is retro. I don't think. I mean, I know it is, but to me,
state
I'm
of the art for Stu.
That's too modern for like
just released in Newport.
So for me, my cutoff is the Mega Drive and the snares. Like at that point,
I think I'd probably go along with that. I consider retro to be the media. The physical media, sorry, I was just banging my kitchen, is the actual physical media. So obviously we're still working on discs now, even though we're on like Blu-rays and things like that. I think for me, a cartridge system is probably what I would consider as retro. Now I know you've got the whole, obviously the Nintendo Switch uses cartridges and it always has done, I think. With that kind of side of things, you're looking more towards like the Game Boy Advanced. That's what I consider to be like a retro system. So yeah, like you say, Stu, Mega Drive, SNES, Master System, you know, all of that kind of stuff is what I would class as a retro system.
So not PS1.
No, I wouldn't class the PS1 as a retro system because it's still using its compact disc.
You know, nobody listens to compact disc anymore.
Well, I know, but we use
it. It's a retro medium, isn't it?
Does anybody listen to discs anymore?
No, but like in terms of physics, no, this is still a disc, isn't it?
No, I know what you mean.
You know, shut up, Stu. Right? Just get in, stay in the corner and shut up.
My retro was 2010 when PC had no disc. We all see. <Yeah. laughs> Oh, gosh. Don't think about that.
Yeah, so there you go. See, Colleen in the chat has put, no, it's not retro, PS1. It is retro for newer gamers. Yeah, but we're not talking about newer gamers. We're talking about us. I can't, you know, bloody hell, the PlayStation 4 is retro for gamers that are born in like 15 years. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it will be in 15 years.
That's what I mean. You know? So, but let's hear from the authority himself.
I wouldn't go that far.
Tell us, almighty master of the retroness.
It's all a bit subjective, really, isn't it?
Oh.
Listen, down to the individual, but I'm going to side a little bit more with Jay in saying it's more of a generational thing.
Podcast is over. Nobody sides with Jay. It's the rules.
It's definitely more of a generational and sort of age thing. So if we were to go back to, let's say, 2010, and PS3, Xbox 360, are mid-cycle. Careful, that's you.
Yeah.
You okay? Right.
I'm all right.
They're sort of mid-cycle, and at which point we would call, or maybe not used to because it's a disc-based media, but the PS1, which was released in 94, that would have been called retro. So it's sort of like two generations old. Now we're two generations on from the PS3. Now, I kind of... I would say the PS2 is definitely retro, and the PS3 and Xbox 360 early days are starting to creep in. And that's sort of like time goes on. I think the generational age gap is getting a little bit wider.
Yeah.
Because there's a bigger gap between console releases now than what there used to be. You know, for example, between the Master System in the UK released in 1988 or 87. The Mega Drive came 4 years later.
Yeah.
And now we're getting 7 years between our generations of getting more out of the consoles we're getting. Mm. So that gap is growing. So I'm going to go from definitely PS2, Dreamcast, original Xbox, backwards.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. I mean, you're wrong, but it's okay.
I can see what you're saying.
And
somebody
according to
an interesting point the other day, though, I was reading a tweet, and one guy said, "Anything with a start button on the controller."
Yeah, we don't have them anymore.
We have a burger and honk, don't we, Jay?
We do. We have burger honk.
We do have a honk button now. What was PS3 that still had back?
That was start and select.
Yeah, start and select. Sorry, yeah. And 360 was back and start, but then it was the two after that where it was the burger button and the honk button. Oh. And there's little squares on the Xbox, which I call the options button.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's got a honk button.
It has got a honk button. I'm going to enjoy pressing the honk button. And every time I press it, I'm literally going to go, huh?
Good.
Take a screenshot. Huh? I just looked whilst you were saying about what your definition of retro was, Brian. I just had a look online to see what the online media reckons is the definition of a retro game, and it basically said anything that's 15 years old, which by what you were saying about generations, that would work out. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're working on a 7-year cycle. Retro. Yeah.
World of Warcraft was retro when it launched.
Yeah. Coggins has come in with the exact definition of retro is imitative of a style of fashion from the recent past. So there we go. We're all wrong.
I'd say 15 years is pretty recent.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember like 5 years ago. So
I can't remember before March. It's all a blur. Yeah.
I think that's true, actually. So let's catch up on a little bit of chat. Colleen said, "Be careful, Brian." I think that was in reference to
the PS1,
everything. I think Millennial Bug feels old as balls.
Yeah.
Kevin has said retro is more style based, in his opinion. Fair enough. And then Millennial Bug has just said, if we get a console gen that lasts 16 years, does space-time fold in on itself? Yes, it would do. It would be like Inception.
Yeah.
That's why they only go for every 7 years. Because
Safety.
Yeah, exactly. It's for safety for the world. Yeah. I mean, how do you not know these things? I thought it was common knowledge.
Saying retro is more style-based is interesting, isn't it? With indie developers in particular, like we were talking about, we mentioned Celeste earlier. That's all. I think that only came out last year. I could be wrong. Might have been the year before, but it's pixel art, you know, chiptune type stuff. You know, it's aesthetically. Yes. If you showed it to someone who doesn't know video games, they would say that's a retro game. You know, based on the presence of it.
Yes. If somebody says retro styling, you instantly think of 8 and 16 bit.
Yeah.
You don't think of the very early sort of like 3D polygons.
Yeah.
You immediately think of the 2D.
Yeah.
Pixels.
Yeah. I mean, for me, at a stretch, I'd probably think of, you know, the clunky 3D models like Mario 64 and the very first Ridge Racer, you know, the really blocky, blurry type graphics back then. That sort of sits in my mind, but it kind of goes back to your point, Bri, where you talk about 360, PS3 potentially on the cusp. They're sort of veering into that way, but interestingly, a lot of those games are still pretty modern. You know, they're HD, they run at a decent frame rate, you can shove them in, you know, on the Xbox, for example, goes back to the original Xbox even. But just recently I played an old 360 game, and because of the way it upscales it and stuff like that, it felt like a modern game.
Yeah.
It was strange. And that kind of makes you think, actually, it's not a retro game, is it? Because it's just running on my state-of-the-art machine with auto HDR and all this business.
Well, this is why I say it's subjective, because that 10-year-old in 2006 playing MotorStorm or Ridge Racer 7 for the first time on their brand new PS3 is now 24 years old. And
to be 24.
Tell me about it. And they, you know, they have all these wonderful memories of playing their first ever PS3. You know, you got the likes of me with that Acorn Electron and PS3. God, that was expensive, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
Thankfully, I didn't pay for mine. Mine was birthday / Christmas present from my mum.
I spent my rent money on mine.
Yeah, we got one on, as you know, I always get everything on launch, and we got the PS3 on launch, and I was more into Sony back then, because I loved the PS1, loved the PS2, and I must admit, I was pretty disappointed within about a month of the PS3, thinking, this cost me a lot of money.
Yeah, I had a 360.
Really enjoying most of these games.
Yeah, well, I had a 360 at the time. And thought, yeah, I'll get this PlayStation 3. So, but it wasn't enough to stop me from playing on my Xbox at the time. The only reason I stopped and then went to Sony kind of more hardcore was because I got the Red Ring of Death.
Ah, okay. Yeah, because I think that's the generation that kind of switched me a bit, because I was always more PlayStation. Got the Xbox sort of afterwards. I liked it for some of the exclusives, didn't love it. But then the 360 was already out here in the UK. PS3 landed, I got that, and I was a bit like, and then I ended up buying a 360 and played that a lot more.
Yeah, do you not think that was more because of the time difference between the Xbox and the PlayStation being released?
Partly. Yeah, partly, because obviously 360 was out longer, it had more stuff on.
Yeah.
But the pad was horrible because it didn't even have Stuart's favourite rumble in it.
I know.
That would have been a glorious pad.
The games just didn't really impress me that much because, you know, it was all cell architecture and everything was all, it's the most powerful thing ever. But then they made it so difficult to code for that really you didn't see the fruit from that until much later in the generation, where it did, you know, pick up again.
Arguably, you could say it wasn't right up until the PS4 got released. That was when you saw the best out of the PS3.
Yeah, it didn't even, because normally you get your peak and then people still manage to squeeze a little bit out. But PS3, I don't think we ever saw the full potential out of, because they made it a bit too complicated.
Yeah.
But you can go back, going back to Bri's point around retro, you can go back to the PS3 and play The Last of Us, probably the last big game on the PS3. And it looks like a modern game because it looks amazing, The Last of Us.
Yeah.
I think it only looks, it looks worse now simply because we've had part two, which looks even better. But that you wouldn't think of as a retro game. I know we're not quite there yet by the 15-year definition, but we're saying the PS3 is verging
into retro console.
Yeah. And to me, it is a retro console, don't get me wrong, because I kind of look at it as the strictly the generations. But thinking of The Last of Us, GTA 5, which we were joking about earlier, Red Dead Redemption, you know, all these big games, Gears of War.
Based on the visuals, you can't really justify it, can you?
Yeah, it's an interesting
thought. I mean, they definitely don't look like Pac-Man.
It's close.
Are they still supporting it?
Which PS3?
Because I know in Japan they were still supporting the PS2 up until 2018.
Yeah, the PS3 I think went a bit quicker, but I'm not sure why. I mean, last year they released Just Dance for the Wii, so who knows?
Yeah,
who knows?
Ubisoft own it.
Yeah. Ubisoft are still using Internet Explorer to work out what the current generation is.
Still using Netscape.
So it's an interesting thought with, if you think about the style of a game.
Yeah.
You can show someone a game made this year and they will go, oh, that's retro, because it'll be pixely. And realistically, Celeste wouldn't work on a SNES because it's a much more advanced version of the classic visuals. But it evokes that era.
Yeah.
Last of Us is, I don't know how old Last of Us is, at least 7 years old. Maybe 12.
2013?
Was it 2013? So seven years old. I wasn't sure if it's 2012 or 2013.
2014. Seven or eight.
2014, 6 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, 2014.
And it looks relatively modern. There are games that come out that look worse than that.
Yeah.
These days.
If I was to ever post, you know, my Twitter is all retro, I'd be comfortable putting PS2 on there. I wouldn't be comfortable putting PS3 on there, basically.
I think a lot of it as well is technological advances in games as well. Like and obviously you've got like motion capture as well. That's come a long way. Like L.A. Noire, that was a PS3 game, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was revolutionary in terms of, you know, that was released in 2011, but it was revolutionary in the way that it did the facial expressions and things like that, and things like that. And you never really got that kind of stuff. Yeah, you never really got that kind of stuff on the PS2. I'm trying to think of some good-looking PS2 games.
I was just looking at late generation PS2 games. I've just grabbed an article here.
FIFA 14.
You've got Bully.
Good game.
Yep.
Persona 4, or Shin Megami Tensei Persona 4, which is obviously stylized, so a bit different. The Bard's Tale, that was a pretty good looking game at the time. Manhunt 2, controversial. I seem to remember that also hit the Wii.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Banned in many places, but you could physically motion
murder. To garrot them.
Yeah.
The Godfather game, I think, did that get a remake recently? I know Mafia did. Maybe The Godfather did.
Not recently, I don't think. Yeah. It did go onto PS3.
That's possibly what I'm thinking of. Full Spectrum Warrior, that was a pretty good looking game at the time.
Great game.
Devil May Cry 3, that was pretty good.
Hmm?
I don't know if that holds up because I've not seen it recently.
That's had the remake treatment, well, remaster treatment as well.
Yes, they did a collection, didn't they?
Yeah, they're all available.
A bit of a sore point, the next one for me, Splinter Cell Chaos Theory. Another game that needs a sequel, please. God of War 2, the God of War games all looked pretty good. So there are some, there's a few more on the list, but there were some big
Black
ones.
Black was quite a good game. Do you remember Black?
Black, yeah. That had some clever stuff with, depth of field and things.
Yeah, it seemed a little bit ahead of PS2. I think it would have been a good sort of next-generation game.
Yeah, yeah, I remember
just working
that.
On it a little bit.
And towards the back end, you had Guitar Hero as well. Guitar Hero 3, I think, was still PS2.
People are clamoring for a Black remaster, aren't they?
Are they?
Well, it's just everywhere. If you look at the most requested remastered game, I'm pretty sure that Black is up there.
I think it's on. I think it's on EA Play.
Could be.
Not sure though.
No. You can't say that kind of stuff,
It is. I've Googled it. It's on EA Play, so I can play it on the Series X.
Excellent. I can play it on my PC.
Yeah. So I bet it's still it's probably still a good-looking game, that, because that was pretty impressive at the time with some of the visuals in that. I don't remember much about it other than playing it going, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's an interesting thought when you think about the visuals as defining retro.
Yeah.
So you'd say by Black, which was PS2, that's retro. You're going to have to tweet that out console. Now. You're going to have to tweet out that game now.
Yeah, by your own definition.
I have tweeted that before.
There you go.
And I think I was probably saying something along the lines, this was way ahead of its time sort of thing.
Way ahead of its time, but it's retro.
Yeah. Really confusing tweet like that.
Yeah. Why not?
A non-committal.
Why not?
I mean, you can put that little disclaimer on the bottom of your tweets all now. So, obviously what...
What I say might not be true.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe that could... you're an orange-faced liar. Yeah. Maybe that could go on the bottom of your tweets.
It's retro in capitals.
Yeah. Official fact. But it's definitely an interesting argument when it comes to retro stuff, because there's obviously, as we found out, everybody's got their own opinion as to what it is.
But they're all fairly valid as well.
Well, this is it.
And this is where the warring comes in.
I'd like to query Stu's original definition, because your definition was, if it uses a disc-based medium, you don't define it as retro.
Yeah, I don't personally, no. Retro to me is more sort of N64 and backwards.
Yeah. So age. The next step from disc-based medium is all digital, like the new console you've just bought.
Well, the problem is, obviously...
So does that mean the disc-based medium you're saying is now an old type of format?
Because it's still used. It's still used. I may be going on digital, but discs are still in use. Yeah.
Different kind of discs.
Just shut up.
Okay, so let's go. I'm still 1983.
I've still got a solid state disk on my inside my PlayStation. So there.
Laser disc.
There you go.
1983.
Yeah. Someone
else
out. 1983.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're wild.
That's not like
before a, Sega Mega Drive.
That's not a traditional disc, though, is it? That's not a traditional disc.
Philips still.
Philips CDR. Look,
I haven't lambasted you lot for what your definitions of retro are. Let me, you know.
Because ours were right.
No, they weren't. You know? But just shut up. Anyway, see you in the podcast. Good night.
By an element of definition. Yes, yeah, I do appreciate it. Yeah, discs are still used. There's no denying that. Blu-rays, HD DVDs, the actual games even. But, you know, 5 or 6 years, is that medium still going to be about? Because it's shrinking. You know, it's
it doesn't really exist anymore on PC for the last 8, 10 years, roughly.
Look, in 5 or 6 years, when we do TC Talks episode 763...
Retrospective.
Then we can have this discussion.
It's on the cusp, I think. On the cusp.
It's been a long time coming. I feel it's been a little bit further behind than I thought it would have, but especially, I guess, better broadband has helped it. Fiber has helped the downloads of games.
I think some countries as well.
Yeah.
Like America, you'd imagine, has the best internet in the world, but apparently it doesn't. It's got really dreadful internet, unless you're in a city.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, it's not an option to go digital. Yeah.
It's just, I feel like consoles have been on borrowed time for a little while. It's about time they caught up with a discless world.
Someone needs to put them in their place.
Yeah,
that's it. So we've got
with the Xbox One, I thought they were going to go down that route when that got launched. It certainly hinted at that.
Yeah,
time, you know?
they wanted to take people there kicking and screaming, whereas what they've now done is slowly changed whilst no one was looking, and everyone's like, "Way!"
Yeah.
So yeah, they definitely messaged that wrong.
So as a bit of a final thought, I've got a couple of comments in the Twitch chat. So Coggins has said, if you ask most people who walk into my section of the store, they always say, why do people still buy CDs and DVDs? And it is a good point. Discs are starting to be viewed as old-fashioned because everything can be downloaded or streamed.
Yeah.
Which is a valid point, but obviously that's held back by broadband speeds and stuff like that. So, you know,
I know that.
And you know, you can't download and stream to a CD player in the car. Obviously, you can connect if you've got
a
Bluetooth.
CD player.
Yeah, but I bet you connect by Bluetooth to your phone.
Yep, and stream it.
Yeah. See, my van doesn't.
In addition to that, you got people like me who like something tangible for their money.
Yeah.
And I like to have my collection displayed on my shelf, and I would rather take a disc-based game over a digital any day of the week.
Yeah.
I like to have that to hold, and if I don't want it, I can then go and resell it.
Yeah,
and that is a huge downside I've had with PC gaming. If I bought a game, I know Steam recently, if you buy it via Steam, you can't get a refund if you don't pay no more than 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But if I bought a game I no longer want, I'll save from CD keys. Well, I've just spent 30 quid. Oh, well, I can't get it back.
Yeah.
And that is a huge negative. But the thing is, that with me, I've had it beat out of me almost the last so many years. I've just kind of given it and gone, well, I guess that's my fate. So at least there's still an option for people with physical media.
Yeah. Then Kevin in the chat said, are we in danger of losing a lot of secondhand shops by going digital?
I think there will always be. There will always be secondhand and specialist shops, because you can still, you know, go and get vinyls and books even, and we've got e-readers and MP3s, haven't we? So, and Spotify and whatever else. So it's on the horizon, but it's a very, very distant horizon, I think.
Yeah. I'd say the demand may increase, because as physical media is phased out, there's going to be collectors that are wanting to get their hands on what they can't get anymore. That's not being produced any longer. So there may be an increase of the secondhand market where, you know, you can get these things that you can no longer obtain.
Yeah.
It could go two ways.
Yeah. And I think we're also deeper into a generation of wanting to get our, you know, people's kids into it. Like, you know, we've even talked about that in our Discord, people trying to get their kids into gaming because their parents got them into gaming, and it's now getting to that second, third generation of people gaming. And that means you go, let me show you what I used to play. And that is your PS2s rather than your SNESs, and it's your, you know, your Xbox or your 360s rather than your Mega Drives, isn't it? Because it's kind of that cycle.
Go give your 7-year-old nephew Ninja Gaiden on the NES. Good luck, mate.
Trial by fire.
Exactly.
Complete that on PS5.
Yeah. And then Budget Nostalgia's joined the chat. Said, hope. Hey, all. Hope everyone's doing well. Anyone pick up the new consoles? And then he's agreed with you, Bri, to say that they're all about the tangible stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Colleen has just... Yeah, that's it. And then Colleen has also kind of agreed and said, not a fan of digital games. I'm the same with books. Hard copies only, please. See, there's a method to my madness of going down the digital route. I mean, I don't buy games very often, purely because of what we do here. I don't remember the last game I actually bought.
Valhalla.
Do you know what? There's an example of Valhalla on PS4 and Xbox. You can pick up for £30 at the moment. On PC, the cheapest place is £48.
Yep. PC and that's Master a digital Race.
Copy. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait, I am not paying that.
Yeah, and that's why I'm still kind of in this weird limbo. I would just rather spend the least amount of money, whether that's digital or physical.
I mean, I obviously game share, so. Yeah.
And this will be probably something similar that Sony and Microsoft, you may see
selling games.
It's locked to one store.
Yeah, you're right.
That's also a downside.
Yeah, that's it. Colleen apparently doesn't buy games anymore. She borrows them from you, Bri.
Oh, yes. I need my God of War back. Hurry up and finish it.
And Budget Nostalgia, thank you for dropping the follow to us.
To answer Budget Nostalgia,
better not be gone.
Both of them.
Yeah, Jay has got both of the new consoles. I have the white console. Stu has no consoles.
I have a Switch.
When was the last time you switched it on?
It's a handheld.
About 2 months.
Yeah.
It's gathering dust on my desk, but
mine's safely stored in the cupboard next to my many, many copies of MotoGP.
I do dust it every week, you know, or something.
It's a shame. I mean, we were all about Animal Crossing at the start of lockdown.
That went downhill quite fast, didn't it?
Dear.
Yeah, this was before your time, bro.
Yeah, I'm glad, because I'm after reconsidered.
I only have digital games for it, so I can't even trade any of them in. I can't do anything.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that's like say I'm more whatever the cheapest option is. So I've got a mixture of digital and physical on the Switch as well. If there's a sale, I'll get something digital.
I think that's it.
They were the cheapest at the time.
Yeah, there we go. So as we come to a close of the TC Talks episode 28 retro podcast, all that's left to say really is don't forget to check, if you're listening to this on your podcasting app, thank you for listening. We'd love to know what you think as well if you're listening to this, what your ideas of retro are. So come and seek us out on Twitter. We are Thumb_Culture. If you're in the chat on Twitch, please come and join the Thumb Culture Hangout. It is the place to be. And where you get to talk to all of these guys on a regular basis, and then, you know, see Stu just completely dismiss anything that we'd say about consoles.
Pretty much, yeah.
What was the latest? What was the latest one about consoles that you...
potatoes?
Yeah, that was the one. Yeah, potatoes. Anyway, if you can send me some screenshots of that RTX and ray tracing on your PC, that'd be great.
I will. Yeah, I've got a printer over there. I'll print some stuff off. I know. I haven't used it in about, I don't know, a year, but I have one. I think it's ink in it. I hope it is. I'll print it off. I'll stick it on the side of my case. Pretend it's something.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. But yeah, please come and join us. The Discord is great. It's busy. It's there's a lot of different personalities in there, and generally you can find us all talking about games, which is always good.
And food
and games. Is always
gluten free Oreos coming in January.
I know you are looking forward to those gluten free Oreos.
I'd be refreshing the Oreo pages. 21st of January. No, come on, Oreos.
Yeah. I'm gonna be the same as you when you talk about gluten free stuff as you are when we talk about console stuff.
Like kryptonite, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean
my wife has to have gluten-free food, so I showed her rather excitingly the article you posted, Stu, about gluten-free Oreos, and her first words were, "But they taste crap."
Yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah. It's like sugar-free stuff. Never tastes good.
Some of it's
all right, yeah, but generally,
zero monsters are all right, you know.
Yeah, but you see, I prefer the full sugar ones, but anyway, we divulge. We come to the end of our TC Talks podcast now, and thank you once again.
Tab, that's retro. Come on, Tab. Remember Tab?
Tab Clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's retro. Here we go.
Now he wakes up.
I know.
It's because Tab's a key on a PC.
So yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Just reminded him.
Yeah, remember that. Remember that print screen. Yeah. But no, thank you very much for joining us. All the people in the chat on Twitch, thank you very much for joining us and keeping us entertained this evening. We have been Thumb Culture, the gaming website. So please drop into the Discord, drop in, have a look at our website. Also, check us out on Twitter as well. That's where you can see a lot more of our content. But all that's left for me to say is thank you for spending this evening with us. We will hopefully see you again next Tuesday when we will be talking about something that we will probably decide on Tuesday morning. Pretty much. I mean, Tuesday by like 3 o'clock, we've got it nailed down, usually.
Just as we're about to hit live.
Yeah, just as we're about to hit live, it's fine. I mean, you know. Who knows? But anyway, take it easy, take care, and it's goodbye from me.
Bye.
Bye. Later.